Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this team here, this family. And I say that because I was very inspired yesterday and today by Annette's talent. She was brought here by her good friend, Diane. And we benefited from it, Lord, and we thank you for that. And now we want this moment, the rest of this service, to be dedicated to you as the first part was. That you would speak through me in spite of me, my faults. For we desperately need to hear and see Jesus. Nobody else. So guide and direct this message, Lord, straight from heaven, through the Holy Spirit, to our hearts and to our minds, motivating us to make a decision to firmly serve you, because you and you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my brand new series is called Mark My Words. Now, mark my words means give your attention to what I am saying because it's true and important. It means something that you say when you tell someone about something that you are certain will happen in the future. It means pay attention to what I say. In fact, we think the first time that this saying was ever used was by Miles Cloverdale, who was a Bible translator, preacher, and bishop of Exeter in England. And he did a Bible called the Cloverdale Bible. Did anybody have a Cloverdale Bible? You do? Good. Shame on everybody else. I don't have one either. And notice what Cloverdale put as his translation of Isaiah 28:23. And by the way, if you want to look in your Bible, that's a beautiful text in Isaiah 28:23. But here's what Cloverdale said. Take heed, and please don't mind his spelling. Evidently, spelling wasn't his strong suit. No, this was back in 1539. This was right spelling. Take heed and hear my voice. Ponder and, here it is, mark my words well. So they feel that he may have been the first person to coin that expression, which is used all the time, and which happens to be the title of my series. So I invite you, as we look at part one of my series, His Fame Spread, turn to Mark the first chapter, verse 28, and we're going to see why Mark wants us to mark my words. Okay, Mark the first chapter. Everybody turn there. Children, I want you to get your Bibles. You should have your Bibles. Open them up. Remember, if you don't, you come see me and I'll give you a Bible. Mark the first chapter. The very first chapter of Mark. We're going to look at verse 21 and we're going to read through 28. Here's the story. Everybody ready? All right. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue, and Jesus taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out in a loud voice, he came out of him. And when they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region of Galilee. I want to start out by looking at some of the facts about Mark, because this will be a series of presentations on the book of Mark. And that is this. First of all, they think that Mark was the first gospel that was written. By the way, I don't know why I didn't include it, but they believe it was John Mark who was the author. John Mark's parents had the upper room where the disciples met. John Mark went out with Paul on a missionary trip until they got into a disagreement. It's also the shortest gospel. This gospel is known as more action-packed than the others. It means it was brief in teaching and it was full of miracles, which we're going to see. Almost half of Mark is about the miracles that Jesus performed, plus the teachings that he talked to his disciples about persecution that will take place. A third of the book is about the last days of Jesus' life. Therefore, it's action-packed, and therefore it is full of the stories of Jesus' miracles, but also of his suffering. Finally, I wrote down, they thought it was written during Nero's persecution around the 60s A.D. So you see, when I read this, I put this together and I thought, okay, Mark had an action-packed gospel that highlighted the miracles of Jesus because he was speaking to a community probably in Rome, who were being persecuted by Nero. And so, we need to mark his words. First of all, I want to point out, let's go back to verse 21 and 22. Then he went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and he taught. And they were astonished at his teaching. He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. This is the very first chapter, about the middle of the very first chapter. He talked first about John the Baptist. Then he talked about the temptations briefly. Then he talked about Jesus' Galilean ministry briefly. Then he talked about the four fishermen being called briefly. But suddenly, in the very first chapter, he gets to this incident that took place in Capernaum. And folks, I want you to stop and think. Jesus entered the synagogue on Sabbath and he spoke. It says he taught. And look at the response of the people. The response says they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And so I put the Greek words down, or the meaning of the Greek words. He talked where it says here they were amazed, astonished at what he said, astonished amazed. They were struck with astonishment. They were like, I never heard anything like this before. Now, folks, we're talking about the church. The religious leaders were part of the community of Israel. And Jesus shows up and He begins teaching in the synagogue, and the people are astounded by the words He was speaking. They were moved with emotion by the words He was speaking. This was a man who knew the God of heaven. They had never heard the religious leaders talk like He spoke. And that second word, dikaia, instruction. They were astonished with His instruction. The act or the matter. And when I read this, I think, you know something? Jesus knew something we need to know. Mark put it in here right away in his gospel. You know, I looked at Matthew and Luke. By the way, Mark is part of the synoptic gospels. Those three, synoptic, thank you. Synoptic gospels, meaning together. There were three of them. John was considered a gospel, but not one of the synoptic gospels. I looked at all of them, and they have much to say and to teach about Jesus before they get to any of the miracles of Jesus. Mark, bam, first chapter, right away. Mark was moved by what Jesus did to encourage the people. Can you imagine them coming to the synagogue every Sabbath and listening to the scribes and Pharisees preach when they themselves weren't sure about what they were saying? And let me go back to what I said. We're talking about the church members. And when Jesus spoke, it blew their mind. It says, for He taught them with authority, exousia, in a sense of ability, privilege. Subjective means force, capacity, competency. I mean, they went, wait a minute, this guy believes what he's saying. Do you understand? When we look at the meaning of these words, we're being told that if they say He speaks like authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees, that meant the scribes and Pharisees weren't speaking with authority. And that authority was competency. In other words, well, you know, it could be this way, or it might be that way, but not Jesus. Folks, Jesus knew something. We need to know it. So I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah, the 50th chapter, verse 4. And let me show you what Jesus knew and what Jesus practiced. This is amazing. Hopefully some of you go, oh, I know what Isaiah 50 verse 4 says. Isaiah 50 verse 4. Look what it says here. Everybody turn to it. And here's what Isaiah under inspiration wrote. Are you ready? The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Now, what do you notice about the word me, my, in your Bible, in that verse? They're capitalized. Why are they capitalized? You don't capitalize a pronoun unless it's referring to Jesus. Folks, here was what Isaiah was telling us. Here's the secret that Jesus had to astounding the people. Because He spoke with authority, the Lord God has given Jesus the tongue of the learned, that he would know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. And now I got goosebumps going up and down my spine. Jesus went to that synagogue and he taught from his heart, and the people were weary and they were burdened. And as he spoke, they were touched and they were moved and they were relaxed and they were given hope. Well, when did Jesus get this tongue of the learned? Oh, did he just pay some money for it? Or was he born with it? And then it says he, which, of course it's capitalized, it's the beginning of a sentence. God awakened Jesus morning by morning. He awakened Jesus' ear to hear as the learned. Friends, would you like to astonish weary people? Then you must allow Jesus to wake you every morning so he can teach your ear. So he can give you a word in season to them that are weary. His tender compassion, Desire of Ages tells us, fell with a touch of healing upon weary and troubled hearts. I forgot to put the page. That's Desire of Ages. What a God we serve, folks. And he gave us this book. This book does that. But it isn't going to do it if we don't spend time in it. And if it came as a surprise to you, then I am super excited you came here today, because every morning the Father woke Jesus up at precisely the right time necessary to prepare him for whatever was going to happen that day. Has that ever happened to you? It will. That's a promise. Listen, if you never tried it, I challenge you to kneel down by your bed when you go to bed today, tonight, and say, Lord, wake me up. Amen. Wake me up when you want me to get up. And then I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to have a problem. Because he's going to wake you, and then you got to figure out, am I going to get up and open my Bible, or am I going to stay in bed? That's it. And I go, wow, Mark, who wasn't one of the original 12, who got in there because of his upper room relationship and was so moved and touched that he wanted the weary and the persecuted and the lonely and the fearful people encouraged. Our God works miracles. And so then he said, in verse 23 and 24, he said, like I can hear him now, Mark's writing, he's going, oh man, I got to tell him, this was incredible. I'll never forget this. When Peter told me about it, Peter was there. He knew about this. He was one of the original. And here's what happened. There was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. This miserable human being went to the synagogue because Satan knew that Jesus would be teaching. And he brought his agent there in order to disrupt the process. By the way, do you know, that's why a group of us come to this church every Sabbath morning at 5:30 in the morning. Right here, we sing songs, read scripture, read quotes, and then we kneel down and pray that Satan doesn't distract anybody in the church service. But Satan, of course, again, was in for a great surprise, for he astounded the people, speaking with authority. And this crazy man that was standing there. His heart began to realize, maybe this is somebody who could help me. I don't want to be the way I am, but nobody would help me. The scribes and Pharisees couldn't help me. They looked down on me. They said that my sin had caused this, therefore God has rejected you. But this man is touching my heart. I'm going to go forward and talk to him. But the demon said, you're not going to talk to him. You're going to say what I want you to say. And so he comes up and he said, what are you doing here? Are you trying to destroy us? But he said something very interesting. He said, I know who you are. Thank you. And I find that very interesting when the vast majority of people in the synagogue, though they were amazed at Jesus' words, still hadn't made a decision about who he was. In the church. Folks, we're in the church. I hope this isn't our experience. That a demon knew who Jesus was, but we don't. And so he came forward, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said this to that wretched, miserable man. Be quiet and come out of him. Notice he's not talking to the wretched, miserable man. He's talking to the demon that had taken possession of this man. He said, and when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Don't you wish you were there? Oh, just two people, I guess. I wish I was there. I would love to hear Jesus' words. Can you imagine the Sermon on the Mount? The people didn't even know they were hungry. Jesus spoke and they were mesmerized by what he said. They had hope. They were excited. They were captivated. And now this man who was tortured from his own decisions he made in this life, who was ostracized by those around him, including the religious leaders, felt compelled to come forward, couldn't even say the right words. And Jesus cast out the demon. Jesus set the man free. And Mark writes that in the very first chapter. It's not in the first chapters of Matthew. It's not in the first chapters of Luke. It's not in the first chapters of John. But it is in Mark. Because Mark was so moved by what Jesus did for humanity that he had to write it down, especially for the persecuted people in Rome who were experiencing the first persecutions. You see, that tells me something else that's kind of interesting, and that is this, folks. When the church was first founded, nobody persecuted them. Why? Because they were small in number until they began to evangelize. And when they did, persecutions arose. But our God is more powerful than persecutions. And Mark wanted the people to know. And so Mark is saying to us, Mark, my words. Verse 27, then they all were amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And I love this. And immediately his fame spread throughout the region around Galilee. Oh, how I'd love heaven to know when I get there that the fame of Jesus throughout the neighborhood of paradise spread. Why isn't it? Because we haven't maybe experience the release from sin that the demonic man did? Is it because we don't really understand our condition? I mean, we're members of the church. The Jewish leaders said, hey, we're children of Father Abraham. And Jesus said, hey, God can rain stones. Oh, how I wish I had the commitment that Mark had to write all this down so that we could understand what kind of God we have in any circumstance we're in. Do not be depressed. Do not be discouraged. And if you are, talk to this God in heaven who's so compassionate. Because He will speak to the demons in our behalf. And so, number one, Jesus spoke with authority. Number two, Jesus spoke words of hope. Number three, Jesus spoke words of healing. That's what we need to do. And we need to start within our own community here, believe it or not. We've got to stop and think, if somebody offends me in this church, how do I treat them? You know, one of the beautiful things about communion, which is coming up next week, is that's an opportunity to say we're sorry to somebody we offended. And see, you got to remember this, that saints are not perfect people, but they're people that say they're sorry when they make a mistake. And it's got to start here amongst us. And then it will spread out there. This goes for me and Pastor Need. It goes for the elders. It goes for the deacons. It goes for the deaconesses. It goes for all of us. And if we make a mistake, let us humble ourselves the way Jesus did and admit it. For Mark wants us to mark his words. And as Cloverdale said, well. Mark my words well. Pastor Neil Cole tells the story about a young man named Sean. Sean was an outstanding musician before drugs took everything from him. Sean had sold all his instruments to feed his speed habit. He had lost all his jobs because he would often steal to buy more drugs. Pastor Cole invited Sean to come to his church and was surprised when he came. He was even more surprised when he came back again and again. And eventually, Sean decided he wanted to profess the faith of Christ and join the church. So a couple of weeks later, Cole baptized Sean in the ocean. And after Sean was baptized, he celebrated by getting high on speed. Cole got Sean into an accountability group and he even had Sean move into his house for a brief time. Cole writes, he stayed clean while he lived with my family, but as soon as he moved back home, he fell again into bondage. And then Cole had an idea of how Sean might break his addiction. He said to Sean, I want you and I to get in the car right now and drive over and tell the drug dealer that you use about Jesus. And maybe if the dealer gets saved, it will cut off your source. It took a bit of coaxing, but Sean did it. And from that point on, Sean had never taken any drugs. He was finally free. Jesus' word in action transformed his life. That's what this book, our God, does. And every one of us, especially the pastors and leaders of this church, need to be transformed every single morning of every single day. And when we blow it, we need to say, I'm sorry. Father, I want to thank you as we mark your words well in this next couple weeks, that you would help us to see the kind of God we serve, one who doesn't throw up his hands in disgust and say, you know what, I've had it. I am through with this group of people. For surely, Lord, you could definitely have felt that way by any one of us, including me in this church. But now that you haven't, Lord, now fill us with your Spirit that we can help one another and other people so they too can have their lives transformed and your kingdom will grow. And when you come soon in the clouds of glory, you will have more people to praise you throughout eternity. I want you to bless each person who's here, Lord. And I want you to help each one of us to make a decision before we leave about something that is necessary with you. Help us not to be timid, shy, scared. And help us not to be selfish and arrogant and egotistical. For you, Lord, said, I am meek and lowly in heart. May this be us too, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I invite the congregation to stand with me as we sing our closing hymn, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. before we bow our heads in prayer, I just really am impressed to ask if there's anyone here. You know, we're having a baptism in a couple weeks, 12 people. Would you like to join that group? If you've never made a decision for Jesus, I invite you to make it now. If you have not made a decision for baptism, I invite you to make that now. So I want to see, is there someone here that the Spirit of the living God is moving upon? God bless you. Wow. Anybody else? Is there anybody else that feels that tug on their heart? Maybe you need to make something straight with Jesus. You know? And maybe you've backslidden or something. I don't want you to hesitate. Is there anybody else here that would like to come forward? Anybody else? You know, you can come forward to say even, I want to study my Bible more with you or someone in the church to learn more before I get baptized. Come on up. Come on up. That's what it's all about. Is there anybody else? I want you to think about it. And you know, maybe when more people leave, you want to come up here. The elders will be up here. If anybody wants prayer, the elders will be up here today. And if you want to talk then, you can come up then. Why am I doing that? Because I'm trying to prolong this. No, because I want to make it as easy as possible for you to make that decision when I know from my own personal experience that it's scary. But God will give you the courage if you come forward. Is there anybody else? Father, I want to thank you for today, for Sabbath, for this church, for these people. No one is here by an accident. And now I pray, Father, that your Spirit would remain with us as we part. And if there's anybody yet that needs to come forward for you, Lord, help them to have the courage now as we close this service. So go with each person now and bless each one, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.